Hello again, I'm Armin Altney. 3 years ago, a homeless schizophrenic named Kelly Thomas was beaten to death by three police officers in Fullerton. They claimed he was resisting arrest, and when two of the three were found not guilty of murder, charges against the third were dropped. But protecting the mentally ill and protecting others from the mentally ill does raise troubling issues. Yesterday, the Orange County Board of Supervisors decided unanimously to implement Laura's Law. That's a measure adopted by the state legislature 12 years ago after a woman named Laura was killed by a mentally ill man. Tracy Wood is senior writer with the Voice of OC. That's an online news website. And Tracy, it's good to have you back on our program.
Thank you very much, Warren. It's great to be here.
In advance of this unanimous vote, you said the supervisors were cautious. What did you mean?
I think it's such an emotional issue for the families, for the people involved, when you're talking about somebody's brain, essentially. I think they wanted to go very slowly and make sure they were, as best they knew how, protecting the rights of everybody, but also trying to find a way to get care for people who needed it. That's the explanation they were giving.
You have talked to people in Nevada County up in Northern California, which is the one place where it has been implemented. What do you find is happening there?
They're very enthusiastic about it. They're not used as an example in the rest of the state. Everybody keeps saying, well, they're too small to be applicable to Orange County or L.A. County, certainly. But in their experience, they say it's provided a way before they get to the point where somebody has to be forcibly committed to treatment because they're a threat to themselves or they're a threat to others or they just plain can't take care of themselves at all. And we're talking only, obviously, about adults. This is a way that they can actually talk to the person, have the person be involved in their own potential treatment and raise their own objections about what they want and what they don't want and have legal counsel with them when they do it. And they say all of those were things that before this or without Laura's Law just don't exist.
So let's just talk a little bit about how this works out in detail. You talk to the person and you take the person into court, isn't that right? And the judge then provides the authority to say, here's what you need to do?
Yeah, and before that, if somebody, the only people who can suggest this or ask for it are family members, law enforcement officials, or people who are living with that person. And they go to the county mental health department and say that we think this person needs serious help. The county mental health department then contacts that person and does its own assessment.
Okay, Tracy Wood, again, senior writer for the Voice of OC, describing how it's happening now, how Laura's Law is being implemented in Nevada County up north. Ron Thomas is the father of Kelly Thomas. He was the man who died in the violent confrontation with the Fullerton police officers in 2011. Mr. Thomas, good to have you back on our program. Once again, our sympathies to you, but you've been involved very much in this issue ever since your son died. How does what we just heard described going on in Nevada County sound to you?
Well, you know, the issues in Nevada County, obviously, that they feel and have felt different than perhaps L.A. County, Orange County, and anywhere else because it happened right there with Laura. You know, the Board of Supervisors in Orange County and Orange County Mental Health have given a complete 100% pledges to make this work. They've done a lot of research on it, been to Sacramento. They're not jumping into this. They've taken a long time to decide this is what needs to be done. And, you know, I'm here to support them in whatever way I can, but I think they're going to make it successful here.
Would your son, do you think, have responded if you had asked the county mental health department to go out and assess his case? Would he then, do you think, have been willing to go into court?
Well, he was always responsive to my request. If clinicians just drove up and said, "Hey, you know, I think we want to take you in," he knew it was voluntary, he probably would not have gone, as I'm sure many people would not. But once in the system, let's just say that they did get him to wherever. If he went to court, he would have complied. He always complied. Whether it was just the rules of a board and care, my house, wherever he was, he complied. There's a variable amount of things that would have to happen to give you a straight answer. But like I say, if he were brought in for his own good, he would have complied with whatever they needed.
Much depends on the training and attitude and behavior of the people who approach the mentally ill person.
That's it. That's 100% it. Yes, yes.
Ron Thomas, again, the father of Kelly Thomas. Ann Menashe is an attorney with Disability Rights of California. Ann Menashe, good to have you on our program.
Good afternoon.
You're not, as I understand it, supportive of Laura's law. Tell us why not.
No, we think that this the decision by the Board of Supervisors yesterday was a major error. We think that so-called Laura's Law is an unproven program, that it's extremely costly, 2 to 3 times the cost of other comparable services. So it's the courts and the police, the public defender. Those are all the things that are costing all this money. It's a violation of the basic human rights of nonviolent individuals with mental health disabilities who are not a threat to anyone. And it's unnecessary because voluntary treatment has been shown to work. The Orange County's own statistics about their full-service partnership program shows incredible results. Hospitalization days reduced by 82%, incarceration by 80%, homelessness by 55%. If we had more crisis programs, if we had more training for police, then Kelly Thomas wouldn't have died. If we had more peer support, which is also extremely successful in encouraging people to engage in treatment, then there would be no need for this type. There is no need for this type of force. The money that's going to courts and more police should be going to meet the tremendous unmet need for voluntary mental health services and housing.
Let me introduce Annette Mogradichian, Director of Adult and Older Adult Behavioral Services in Orange County's Health Agency. Good to have you on our program. Thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon.
My understanding is your agency will be the one that administers this. Let me ask you to respond to Ms. Menashe. How would a person qualify for Laura's Law? What standards have to be met before they're asked to go into court?
There's very specific criteria for someone to be eligible for AOT. They must be 18 years and older. They must be suffering from a mental illness. They must be unlikely to survive safely in the community without supervision. They have to demonstrate a history of lack of compliance with treatment and that their condition is substantially deteriorating, and that participation in AOT would be the least restrictive placement. In addition, one of the two factors must be present, that within the last 36 months they've required 2 psychiatric hospitalizations or placement in a correctional facility due to their mental illness, or as a result of their mental illness they have had 1 or more attempts or threats of serious and violent behavior towards themselves or others within the last 48 months.
So, Ann Menashe, back to you with Disability Rights California. That's a lot of criteria involved, including the possibility that the person has either committed a violent act or threatened a violent act. You said that the treatment that you propose as an alternative would be for people who've been nonviolent.
No, what I said was that the criteria is actually very broad. You'll hear what it does not say. A person does not have to be violent, to pose any kind of violence or be a danger to themselves or others, or to be gravely disabled. That's not necessary. You can look back. You could have a person who never hurt a fly, anyone else, at one point 4 years ago may have threatened harm to themselves. Maybe it was a suicide gesture that wasn't a real serious suicide attempt. And from that one incident, they could, without being a danger at that moment, without being a current danger, could take away that person's basic right to decide about their own medical care. And if you think about that, that's pretty serious. You could have someone who is diabetic and eats a lot of donuts, and the doctor says not to eat donuts. Well, that person could eventually be a danger to themselves if they keep doing that. Should that person be taken involuntarily into a hospital to be examined? Should they be under court order on pain of being sent involuntarily into a hospital again? Based on that, why don't we allow that to happen? Because we expect people, rightly or wrongly, to make their own decisions about their medical care.
Okay, let me go back to Annette Mogradichian in Orange County Health Agency. How do you respond to that?
Well, I think that, you know, currently we do provide a lot of outreach to those individuals who need services, and right now our only options are either to continue to engage them in services until they agree or wait until they require hospitalization or incarceration. This allows us an opportunity to intervene in between that and have another option for them to have outpatient treatment.
But what we just heard is that conditions are broad enough that somebody who had diabetes and was judged to be in danger to him or herself could fall under this. How do you respond to that?
The biggest criteria is a person must have a mental illness, and all of these criteria, lack of compliance with treatment, conditioning deteriorating in the community, all has to be a result of their mental illness.
How do you know they have mental illness? How do you find that out in a given case?
Well, as soon as we get a referral, we will send out an outreach team with a clinician. They will do an initial screening to see that some of these preliminary criteria is met, and then they will get a full-on clinical assessment by a psychologist to determine their mental status. So we will gather the history, talk to family members, get all the collaborative information. At that point, we will determine whether to file a petition for AOT. But even before that, we'll at all times try to engage that client to seek voluntary treatment.
Let me go back to Tracy Wood, the senior writer with the Voice of OC. How many people did the supervisors anticipate might in fact be eligible, if that's the right term, or subject to Laura's Law?
Their estimate is 120 a year in Orange County.
Okay. Let me go back to Ann Menashe. When we hear the kind of services provided described by Ms. Mogradichian, does that reassure you at all if we're only talking about 120 people a year?
No, because this is a very dangerous, slippery slope, and those people's rights are important. If they are not dangerous, and let me just clarify, I wasn't saying that they take someone with diabetes now into the hospital. What I'm saying is that the kind of criteria they use would never be used against someone with a physical illness, and that is really discriminatory against people with mental health disabilities, because someone who is not dangerous now, is not a threat to themselves, may never have been a threat to anyone else, and may never become a threat in the future based on some guess about what may or may not happen in the future, can have their fundamental right to taken away to make decisions about their own medical care. And that is a big mistake, and it's not necessary because outreach works, voluntary treatment works. We need more voluntary treatment. People are turned down every day for voluntary treatment. People are homeless because they can't afford to live in any homes, and there's no the housing needs are not being met. And all that money that's going to cops and courts could be going to those voluntary services that are people are being turned down every day, people with serious mental health disabilities or who are being turned on every day.
But Ms. Mogradichian, isn't it true that under Laura's Law, you don't have to take medical care? This is not forced medication, is it?
No, medication is not a forced component in it. And so someone could be engaged in treatment, and certainly if medication is something that the treatment team feels that is necessary, we will try to engage the client into taking medication, but it is not part of the court order at all.
Ron Thomas, you've been through this or something like this with your son, the late Kelly Thomas. How do you feel about the concern over civil rights?
Well, like any parent, you realize that when your child, regardless of their age, and in Kelly's case, gravely mentally disabled, he didn't have the cognitive reasoning. So I had to take over again as a parent, him again as my child, and quite frankly, I didn't care about his civil rights. I didn't care about his rights at all. I did what I thought was necessary to get him the help he needed. I did this for 15 years, and every time he would walk from a boarding care, because he was bored. I mean, he had his cognitive reasoning back, and he was doing fine. He would just walk and want to get on with his life. It would start the cycle all over again because he'd be off his medication. I would get him. We'd get back into the system, get him on his meds again, and he would be fine. And so I see for Kelly, and I'm not saying this works for everybody, but my experience with Kelly is the medications helped him. They helped him tremendously. And if I didn't take him out of the parks and under the bridges where I found him, and a couple times I actually took him to lock up mental facility, Royale, against his will because I had conservatorship, and he came out of there a much better person. He could talk to me. He came back to live with me, and we were fine. It worked for him, and if I just said, oh, I don't want to violate his rights, I'm going to let him just roam the streets and pray to the sun god, and just stand there and stare at the sky all day, would that really been better for him?
Would he have been better off? Would he have been better off if the kind of treatment that Ms. Menashe of Disability Rights California just elaborated on?
No, he would not be better off trying to go in voluntarily, seeking somebody, telling never knew he was sick, and many people are like that. They just don't recognize it. That's how bad off they are. They think they're doing fine. Kelly always told me, no, Dad, I'm doing fine. And he was in horrible shape at times, but he thought he was just fine. He could not survive on his own. He could not maintain a healthy lifestyle. He just didn't have the sense about him to take care of himself.
So, Ms. Menashe, how do you respond to that?
Well, first of all, I think we need to be clear that the criteria for Laura's Law is such that it will include many people who are and are able to take care of themselves. People who are not able to take care of themselves in terms of food, clothing, and shelter due to their mental illness, not due to being poor, but due to their mental illness, or there's already the ability under the Lanevin-Petzer-Short Act to involuntarily detain them and hospitalize them and ultimately to conserve them. So that's really not the issue. The issue of Laura's Law is that it casts a very wide net of people who are competent to make their own medical decisions, who are not gravely disabled, and on some speculation that eventually they may become so. And that is a very dangerous kind of thing to do, and it's also not necessary because, as I said, we don't have enough good quality voluntary services in Orange County. We need more money put into housing. We need more money into peer support, which increases participation in services from 30 to 80%.
Okay, but Ms. McGritch, I'm sorry, we're running very short of time. Ms. McGritch in Orange County, is that right? Does this involve people who can, in fact, care for themselves and thus pose a risk to their civil rights?
It isn't about grave disability. It is really about accessing treatment. And like I said, mentioned earlier, the criteria is that they're unlikely to survive safely in the community without supervision. They have a history of lack of compliance with treatment, and their condition is substantially deteriorating. And as Mr. Thomas said, is that they may not identify that they do indeed need this treatment. And currently, we have to wait until they do become a danger to themselves or others in order to intervene. This will allow us to intervene before that hospitalization requires. And a danger to self and others is only one of the options. The other is that they've had two psychiatric hospitalizations within the past 36 months, and that could have been done due to a variety of reasons.
Tracy Wood, let me go back to you. You said at the beginning that the board was cautious about enacting Laura's Law in Orange County. Do you think they're going to be cautious about the implementation?
That's really, from a reporter's standpoint, that's what I'm very curious to see, is how is it put into effect? How well is the program run? How well do the courts do they get actively involved in this? Public defender's office. It's from a reporter's standpoint, it's going to be a very, very interesting story to follow, because Orange County could either be the state could follow Orange County, or Orange County, if it doesn't work out, that could be the end of Laura's Law.
Doesn't a lot depend on how the police respond and how they're trained? Look what happened to Kelly Thomas.
Well, the police, that's one of the reasons that actually Laura's Law got passed, I think, is there was such a strong problem with the police and their attitudes toward mentally ill people and homeless people in that area of North Orange County, particularly Fullerton, that it made this whole thing come to light in the first place. They were, even in the days after this, it was like, to the reporters, why are you so interested in this? Why is this such a big deal? This was a homeless guy that wouldn't pay attention to what we were telling him.
Okay, so very quickly, Ron Thomas, given once again the situation with your son, are you concerned that the police might do the same thing again?
I'm not nearly as concerned as I was. It's almost 3 years now. I've been involved with several police departments, their chiefs, their committees, classes to the officers. There's an awareness that's out there now. And, it's all about a professional officer. People are filming them, recording them. I think, honestly, I think men and women of the Fullerton Police Department are disgusted with the actions of those officers that night.
Okay, Ann Menashe, very quickly, about 15 seconds left. You, I take it, are concerned about the police?
I'm very concerned about the police and what some of this money should be going to, in addition to voluntary mental health services, is crisis intervention training for the police.
Okay.
That has been shown to save lives and could have prevented the tragedy that Kelly Thomas experienced.
Well, thank you all very much for being with us. Ann Menashe, Disability Rights California, Ron Thomas, the father of the late Kelly Thomas, Tracy Wood with Voice of OC, and Annette Magridichian at Orange County's Health Agency. We'll keep track of this as we can and have further reports as time goes on. Great to have all of you on our program. Thanks very much. Remember, you can join the conversation on our Which Way LA Facebook page.